We've got exciting news. WVXU is moving. Don't worry, you'll still find us at 91.7, but Cincinnati Public Radio is building a new home near Wasson Way. There are numerous plans to redevelop our current location, but none take into account public radio's needs. More about WVXU's move at cinradio.org/move.
The power struggles, or, you know, what started to happen.
Oh, there was so much angst.
There's really nobody in charge when everybody's in charge.
This dysfunction is not only internal, it's external.
If my friend described her relationship to me like this, I'd tell her to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, the red flags are flagging. They remind me of a dysfunctional family.
But hey, this relationship is complicated between the city of Cincinnati and Hamilton County. The Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati, or MSD, is often stuck in the middle of their political tug of war.
Wait, oh my God, so MSD is kind of like the kid in a custody battle?
Yeah, kinda. But worse than that, all of us are stuck in the middle too, because all of the time and money spent fighting over who gets to be in charge is time not spent on the bigger problem: heavy rain that sends raw sewage into basements and local public waters. This is Backed Up, a podcast from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Becca Costello.
And I'm Ella Rowan. And today we are spilling the tea. The sewage tea?
Let's head to our trusty bulletin board. We're keeping track of all the clues and evidence that will help us solve the mystery of MSD and why raw sewage is still getting dumped into waterways and getting backed up into homes.
I feel like there's a joke here somewhere about Encyclopedia Brown.
Or maybe Nancy Pooh.
All right, I am putting up a picture of City Hall and a picture of the County Commissioner's office. And I'm tacking them to the board.
And I am drawing a picture of them holding hands over a toilet bowl.
These days, Cincinnati and Hamilton County are not hashtag relationship goals. So how did these two lovebirds get together anyway?
Remember that in the early days of Cincinnati, engineers built a combined sewer system on purpose because it seemed like a good idea at the time. A quick refresh for you. In this kind of sewer system, poop and pee go down the same pipe as stormwater.
By the time Cincinnati suburbs were big enough to add their own sewer systems, they knew to build them separately. Stormwater goes in one pipe, and our poop goes in a different pipe.
As God intended.
Amen.
Even though these suburbs were building their own sewer pipes, it was too expensive to build their own treatment plants. But they're like, hey, Cincinnati already has treatment plants. Can't we just send our poop to them?
Sharing is caring, after all.
So for a couple of decades, Hamilton County is split. There's the Cincinnati sewer system, which has been connected to some of the suburban communities.
And then there's a completely different system to handle sewage in all the other Hamilton County suburbs.
But none of these sewer systems were doing a stellar job.
Nature hasn't changed, but we have.
In the 1960s, the Ohio government got serious about water pollution, like sewer overflows, and threatened cities and counties with an ultimatum. Get your act together, or we'll stop approving building permits.
These building freezes meant no new housing or restaurants or stores or anything else these communities wanted.
So that became a precursor to MSD and the county and the city saying, collaboratively, we need to solve these issues.
Our favorite sewer/history nerd, Jack Rennekamp, is back to help tell this epic love story.
The city and the county had undertaken a number of studies, but came together and said a collaborative arrangement whereby the city, as the technical and brains trust, so to speak, would exist alongside a county funding apparatus and a political authority that rested with the county.
Think of it like a wedding. The city and the county get married, and their vows are the 1968 agreement.
Do you, Hamilton County, agree to appoint the city as the sole and complete management agent for the county sewer system?
I do.
And do you, City of Cincinnati, agree to accept and undertake to perform your duties and responsibilities and functions as such agent, all in accordance with the terms, conditions, and provisions relating thereto as defined and prescribed herein?
I do.
I now pronounce you the Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati. We end up with a whole new entity, the birth of the Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati.
MSD! Not to rain on the parade too much, but this isn't necessarily a love match. It's more of a marriage of convenience, and it's a pretty complicated agreement.
The county owns MSD. The Board of County Commissioners sets the budget and the rates. And the city operates MSD, so all the employees work for the city of Cincinnati.
Even this basic description, though, doesn't have consensus.
From the city's perspective, of course, we would still own all of the assets within the city that the city brought to the MSD in 1968.
That's a city attorney speaking to city council back in 2015. The city and the county were facing one of the biggest challenges yet. What to do when the 1968 agreement expired in a couple of years?
Most marriages don't have an expiration date from the beginning, but this one did. The agreement that created MSD was for 50 years, and there was no plan for what would happen at the end in 2018.
I don't really know what is going to happen, but certainly if there is not a resolution, there is always the potential for some future court proceeding.
Officials at the time seemed optimistic, at least at first. Here's then-councilmember Christopher Smitherman.
We are not, I am not, and I would say that my colleagues are not interested in a divorce. We're interested in a continued marriage with our county partners around MSD.
The city and the county operated pretty peacefully together for a while, so why didn't the honeymoon phase last?
One reason is the consent decree, which sounds like a royal proclamation you'd hear at the Renaissance Fair.
Hear ye, hear ye. Thou waters are polluted with foul fluids, violating the kingdom's laws.
Yeah, not that exciting. The MSD consent decree came after a lawsuit filed by the Sierra Club and the Ohio EPA.
So let me start by saying it's odd that we use the term consent decree as if everyone understands what that is and knows what that means.
Meet Diana Christie, director of MSD.
So a consent decree is something that is used typically in the regulatory environment. It means that we have agreed upon solutions to achieve compliance with something that otherwise federal and state EPAs could take action against us for noncompliance.
In other words, a consent decree is like a contract. MSD is essentially breaking federal law by dumping raw sewage into local creeks and rivers. And MSD has been breaking that law ever since President Nixon signed the Clean Water Act in 1972.
These problems will not stand still for politics or for partisanship. They demand to be met now.
But the EPA says, hey, we get it. All these old cities were built this way, and it isn't your fault our standards have gotten higher. So we'll let it slide, as long as MSD follows a plan to eventually stop violating the law. That agreement is the consent decree, finalized around 2004.
Then MSD comes up with a plan for how to stop breaking the law. That's something called the WIP. I'm so sorry to inform you, this is yet another acronym, WWIP, the Wet Weather Improvement Plan.
The Wet Weather Improvement Plan was finalized in 2009. It's basically a list of projects that will reduce how much untreated sewage is released into waterways. Think like bigger pipes and treatment plants.
But there are lots of different ways to fix this problem, and deciding which projects to spend tens of millions of dollars on is not at all easy.
And don't forget, this marriage had a 50-year shelf life from the very beginning, and there was no plan for what would happen after that 2018 expiration date. Would they renew their vows? By 2017, officials in both Cincinnati and Hamilton County were ready to call it quits on the relationship.
City Council and Hamilton County Commission held several joint meetings in 2017 to find a way to separate amicably. Here's then-Mayor John Cranley and then-Councilmember Kevin Flynn.
If we do nothing and continue to litigate or don't come to a resolution, the closer we get to April 30th, the more you've already spent on litigation. You might as well let the judge make the final call. Everyone loses.
We need to be able to put the past behind us so that we can move forward.
Like any divorce, it was complicated by shared assets and kids.
Not actual children, thankfully, but close to 700 people work at MSD, all of them getting their paychecks from the city.
Then County Commissioner Todd Portoon was one of the most vocal officials on this issue for a long time, and he didn't sugarcoat how tough it was.
Resolving the conflict was no easy deal. Both sides, I guess, may have wanted it to operate different, but that is the hallmark of a good compromise, and one forged with the sweat and the blood and the tears that this one was forged out of is probably a very good deal that will stand the test of time.
Long story short, the city and county finally came to an agreement to go their separate ways.
It was huge.
That's Denise Driehaus, one of three Hamilton County commissioners. This particular fight was happening when she first took office, and she's still on the Board of Commissioners now.
It was huge. When I entered the scene, right, in 2017, there was so much angst. There was just a lot of tension in the room, a lot of disagreement in the room. So for us to come together on something that solved for the city and the county's top priorities was really significant.
And, like, what a relief. Have you ever seen a couple that really didn't belong together get a divorce and think, good for them?
So you can imagine the disappointment when we didn't get that done.
Wait, what?
Yep, the divorce didn't go through. Ohio state government officials had to sign off on it, and they said no.
A year after Hamilton County and Cincinnati leaders thought they'd settled the future of the Metropolitan Sewer District, the deal isn't done.
They took their sweet time making that decision, and the expiration date came and went. A federal judge overseeing the consent decree decided the 1968 agreement should just continue indefinitely until there's a new agreement. Spoiler alert, there still isn't a new agreement.
While all of that was going on in the courts, another big fight was happening at the same time. The next phase of the wet weather improvement plan had to be submitted to EPA regulators in summer 2018.
And this is where things get really wild.
Well, this gets to the point of the fact that there's disagreement between the city and the county on what the plan should be.
The city of Cincinnati, along with MSD, sent federal regulators a 10-year plan.
But the county sent a totally different plan for 5 years.
The city's plan did not resemble the county's plan. Some of it was the same and some of it wasn't. And so there's a disagreement. The county, you know, we own a utility. And so it is our obligation to provide that plan to the regulators. The city, unbeknownst to us, provided their own plan. That was problematic.
Hamilton County commissioners were furious. They fired criticism at MSD Director Diana Christie at a public meeting in early 2020. Here's Commissioner Stephanie Sumrow-Dumas.
Why? Why did you think you had the authority to do that? I'm just going to be straight. Why did you think you were able to do that?
MSD Director Diana Christie fired right back.
Because the city is a co-defendant to the consent decree and had just as much responsibility to submit a plan as the county.
Commissioner Victoria Parks wasn't satisfied.
This is offensive. And the way I feel right now, I have a suggestion. I think that you ought to call the judge and just tell him that you have no intention of operating and dealing with us in good faith so that we can stop wasting our time, his time, and our citizens' money. This is upsetting.
And all this time, while the city and county are bickering and filing court motions and shit-talking to the public and to reporters, it's still raining in Cincinnati. More on Backed Up after this.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's Deuces, your host and creator of the Art of series, a multimedia series comprised of episodes that translate our journey of a deeper dive into understanding the world of creatives and entrepreneurs through immersive experiences with documentary-like visuals, original music, music videos, and in-depth conversational podcast pieces. But it's safe to say this is more than a podcast. With Cincinnati Public Radio, listen wherever you get your podcasts or at cinradio.org. Deuces.
This week on Looking Up, I talk with John Linnell from the eclectic and scientifically minded band They Might Be Giants.
Are you still trying to pin me down on this nerd thing?
Hey, what is this? What is this podcast anyway?
John Flansburg and I have spent the last 40 years doing something that we felt should just be whatever we like, and that's kind of been the guiding principle of They Might Be Giants.
Looking Up is available where you listen to podcasts and WVXU.org.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Sue Bills.
You want to talk first or go down and see first?
I think we'll do a little tour first, if that's okay.
My name is Susan Bills. I've been a proud West Price Hill Covedale resident since 1966. I probably moved three times and moved six blocks total, and I returned to my childhood home, which I love very much. We are very involved with the community. I'm involved with West Price Hill Community Council and the Price Hill Safety Community Action Team. We like to keep things safe and clean in our neighborhoods.
Multiple generations of Sue's family stayed right here in West Price Hill, in this house, despite a certain problem that has come up again and again. Or should I say, backed up again and again.
You can't keep getting away with it!
So I'm going to take a lot of little tour here.
So just be careful. Hold on to your banister.
This is the reason I have to put stuff up, because this is where the main drain issues have occurred.
Drain issue is another way of describing what happened to Florence Miller in episode 1, a sewer backup, or SBU.
So the house was built in roughly 1934. Now we redid this area. There used to be a drain over here where we filled it in. That was also an area of backup. If you come over here, you'll even see some areas where it even reached at least three feet.
That's my shoulder.
Yeah. So that did not happen often, but it did happen.
Sue pointed to that water line and said at least 3 feet. But it was absolutely up to my shoulder, which would be well over 4 feet. That's how high the mix of stormwater and raw sewage would get in Sue's basement when she was a kid in the 70s.
So obviously, if you're planning on people coming over, and then you have to deal with all the smell and disinfecting, and yeah, that puts a little damper on things, to say the least. But it was frustrating, because they'd spent a decent amount of money trying to fix a problem, too. And it wasn't that they weren't willing to try, they did.
These sewer backups were a lot more common then. This was around the time of the Clean Water Act in 1972, but way before MSD's consent decree. Most people had no idea what a sewer backup even was.
We just knew water was coming up. We didn't even think about it being a combined sewer backup. We just knew water was coming in and we had to deal with it.
When Sue's parents passed away in 2011, she moved back into her childhood home with her husband and kids. And in 2017, one of those major storm events hit the west side.
They were very heavy rains. I think they would probably refer back to them as, you know, if not 100-year floods, they were very, very serious floods. So there were four different documented and reported where they actually reported to the house and came out and tried to decide if it was an actual sewer backup or not.
This is actually a good time to talk about the different kinds of sewer backups. It's a little bit of a side note. Let's put this on the bulletin board. Not all sewer backups are caused by too much stormwater in a combined sewer system.
Actually, most sewer backups are not caused by a combined sewer system. It's more common that a clog causes household sewage to back up in a private pipe and overflows the toilets and drains in a basement.
Clogs or blockages could be a tree root, a buildup of things like hair, food dumped down the sink, and those so-called flushable wipes.
Oh, actually, hold on. Can we talk about something real quick? Those flushable wipes are a lie, no matter what the label tries to tell you. There's no such thing as flushable wipes.
Seriously, all flushable wipes are terrible for the sewer system. If you don't believe me, Google Fatberg.
Well, we've got a monster of a Fatberg under the seafront here in Sidmouth.
Flushable wipes should be rebranded as Do Not Flush, but instead responsibly dispose of me in the nearest trash can wipes. Anyway, most sewer backups are caused by problems with the private side of the sewer system.
Not to victim blame or anything, that's just the way it is. And MSD will only pay for damages and cleaning if a sewer backup is caused by capacity issues in the combined sewer system.
Which makes sense, right? You wouldn't want your sewer rates to pay for some random person's sewer backup if it was caused by pouring too much bacon grease down the drain.
So to decide which sewer backups to help with, MSD does an inspection for each complaint they get. Sometimes it's really simple. Sewer backup on a beautiful sunny day when it hasn't rained in weeks? That's probably a private issue, unless the main sewer pipe has collapsed or something like that.
But when there are dozens or hundreds of complaints after a big rainstorm like the one in 2017, it can be harder to determine whether water in a basement is a sewer backup, or flooding from basement windows, or a crack in the foundation. When Sue Bills submitted her claim,
it was denied.
My original submitted claim was in August of 2017. I was contacted again by another person in the MSD to resubmit the claim in December.
Sue decided not to resubmit the claim once she realized MSD needed to see original receipts for what was damaged. That means a 30-year-old furnace and flooring put in during the 1950s. Even if she had those receipts, MSD would only offer a prorated amount.
To replace the furnace was over $6,000. The flooring in the bathroom, you know, I spent probably close to $7,000. The waterproofing was $10,000. So what are they going to give me, $1,000? So I thought, you know, I'm going to replace it. I'm going to have my receipts. Then if it happens again, then I will submit a claim.
Well, it obviously happened again, this time in 2021.
I was called specifically. They asked me, we know Covedale had some incidents. Was your house affected?
Oh, so before you reached out to them, they reached out to you?
MSD called me specifically, yes, the next day after the event. And they stated the float test had indicated that we had experienced a legitimate sewer backup.
Wow. How did it feel to have that, I guess, confirmation?
Total verification that what we had been fighting for, we were right. And we knew we were right.
One of the ways we're kind of trying to looking at this is like we're kind of solving a mystery, right? Who do you see as the villain? Is there a villain?
At one point when I wasn't getting any help, I felt that way. But as I talked to more people in the city and tried to collaborate, it's not any one person. I think we as a government can do a better job. I think with the funding, we can do a better job. I don't like to think of them as villains, although I know some people do.
It's a really generous attitude, I think, you know, considering all of the issues you've had. I don't know. I can understand if you'd be a lot more frustrated than you are.
When we were told in 21 it was a legitimate sewer backup, that just proved our point. We knew we were right. And you don't always get that. So, I mean, that was a blessing that we were finally told that we were right. And like I said, it's not as bad as it was, but it's still an issue that we need to resolve. And I think more people need to communicate better. I mean, I went around my whole street and I interviewed people and I said, are you having issues? What kind of issues? A lot of people, they just make do, you know, and they don't push it.
Sounds like the city and the county could learn a thing or two from Sue Bills. Maybe she could be their marriage counselor.
Actually, this fraught relationship is apparently a lot better now than it used to be. That may be kind of hard to believe, considering where we left off in their story.
This is offensive. This is upsetting.
Yeah, I don't know how much hope I have for those two.
And yet, we're hearing good things from all sides. Here's MSD Director Diana Christie.
You know, rather than try to look to something that would be a different structure for MSD, the last few years we've really just worked on improving that, you know, working relationship. We also had some clarity from the court, which helped. And the court really just clarified that, you know, the county is, with respect to consent decree, is leading those negotiations.
Okay, yeah, there is that. The federal judge in charge of the consent decree, Judge Michael Barrett, issued a ruling in May 2020. He said officially, Hamilton County gets to lead the way in negotiating projects. And he took the opportunity to chastise both parties for how they'd acted.
Here's our friend and colleague, reporter Zach Carrion, reading Judge Barrett's words.
The relationship between the city and the county has been marred by what the county refers to as dysfunction, or ongoing county-city governance disputes. Yet this is a relationship where one party needs the other to function. To the extent that there is dysfunction in the relationship, one party is not to blame more than the other. Like any relationship, there needs to be communication, honesty, cooperation, understanding, trust, and a lack of judgment. Rehashing or revising what has happened in the past does not move the relationship forward. It's a waste of precious time and ratepayers' money.
Do you feel like he got out of a therapy session that day and he had a lot on his mind? I mean, like, what has happened in the past does not move the relationship forward is so funny to me.
It literally sounds like relationship counseling. Judge Barrett said the county is officially in charge of negotiating the consent decree with full cooperation and help from MSD at the city. But the county wanted the judge to declare once and for all that they are in control of MSD altogether. And Judge Barrett said he wouldn't do that. Here's Zach reading from Barrett's ruling again.
To be clear, the MSD is not a City of Cincinnati department which is funded by the county, and it should not be treated that way. However, the county is reminded that it should not micromanage MSD, but needs to allow MSD to do its job. The county and the city need to shift their focus from the past and create a structure and process for the future. If the parties are not able to stop the finger-pointing and work collaboratively, the court will be forced to implement more draconian measures.
And so far, 4 years later, everyone has told us that they are focused on the future instead of rehashing the past.
I'm not super interested in the divorce. I'm more interested in the mediation and bringing things together to the point where we're moving forward together with a common agreement on how we should move forward together.
Yeah, well, I will say it has improved. And I'm very focused on having a very collaborative and positive working relationship. You know, myself and the rest of the MSD employees, we're all city employees, but we work very closely with the county. And I think over the last few years, that relationship has improved a great deal.
Most of these disputes were over the next phase of the Wet Weather Improvement Plan, Phase 2.
In 2023, EPA regulators approved a Phase 2A plan and decided to deal with the rest of Phase 2 another time. 2A only has 5 projects, and they're pretty small compared to the rest of the Wet Weather Improvement Plan.
So instead of bigger pipes and treatment plants, it's like some backup generators for an existing treatment plant. Remember Marilyn Wall, the Sierra Club volunteer that's been suing MSD for the past 20 years? She wasn't very impressed with Phase 2A.
They have to finish them all by the end of 2024, which shows you this is not like the kind of plan you need, because you don't want to be negotiating it again and again every year.
But yeah, 1 year at a time, wow.
That's impossible. So that's good that they're finally getting done. But it's not nearly enough to really compensate for the fact that we spent 5 years not getting things done, you know?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say they didn't do anything, but there are many other projects, non-consent decree projects, but in terms of the consent decree, we weren't making progress.
The next deadline is just 2 weeks from the release of this episode you're listening to right now. The county has to send its proposal for Phase 2B to regulators by June 30th, 2024. The draft is a 10-year plan expected to cost about $1.8 billion.
We'll talk more in a future episode about where MSD is going to find almost $2 billion. Spoiler alert, money is definitely going on our bulletin board as another suspected villain.
Next time on Backed Up, we'll talk about how MSD is keeping sewage out of waterways and the number one thing that makes it an almost impossible task.
These small amounts can make a big difference.
There is a lot more rain coming, so this is getting more urgent as an issue.
The water just was coming out and just running right on down the street like a river.
Backed Up is a Cincinnati Public Radio podcast produced with support from PRX and made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation.
Backed Up is reported and produced by Becca Costello and myself, Ella Rowan, with support from Casey Kuhn.
Thanks to everyone who helped put this episode together and bring it to life. Tana Weingartner, Jen Merritt, Ronnie Salerno, Zach Carrion, Marshall Verbsky, Stephen Baum, Brittany Métis, Kevin Reynolds, and Leslie Smith.
Marianne Zalesnik is our VP of News. Janelle Walton is our VP of Content. Nicole Tiffany made our podcast cover art. Special thanks to Sam Ransahoff, Tony Carlson, Grace Appler, Stephanie Kuo, and Mike Russo.
Our friends at the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library have put together an incredible digital exhibit about the history of the sewer system. So go check that out. You'll find a link at wvxu.org/backedup. Plus lots of pictures and extra info. Basically everything except the smell of the sewers. Let me say that again. I feel like I had a pee pop on the poo. Pee pop on the poo. That's my horse impression.
Very good.
Some have doubted my horse girl identity, and I feel very strongly about having been a horse girl growing up.
No, I can kind of see that since you're from the country and all that.
And right? Homeschooled?
Like, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that's very horse girl.
Come on. Every time I'm listening to NPR, and that's just a close-up of somebody pointing a microphone at gravel and stepping on it, it's like such a thing.
We gotta get those footsteps.